But you gotta understand, there's levels to it. Like,
Right.
in order for me to get here, I had to do this. I had to delay gratification. Most people that graduate college with, you know, the salary I had, all that, they're going to get that new BMW. They're going to get the nice apartment, which I got the nice apartment too. But when I woke up, I realized this is what I need to do. But the car, people are going to try to buy the dream house as soon as they, like, come on, man. Like, it's delayed gratification is the most important thing for along this journey to financial freedom. The most important thing, hands down.
Welcome to Money Vision U. In this podcast, we are passionate about teaching the financial class you should have had in high school so you can learn how to fast track your financial freedom. If you want to learn how to make, manage, and multiply your money and see opportunities the way the wealthy do, then you came to the right place. I'm your host, Stuart Berryhill. Money Vision U, class in session. Welcome to another episode of Money Vision U. In today's episode, we got a really neat guest with us. We got Alex Camuño, who's going to share his story and talk about his journey with us. But welcome to the podcast, Alex.
Hey, Stuart. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be on here and get to talk to you, man. I know we're going to get into a lot, so I'm excited.
Yeah, for sure. And I know you've got an awesome story and journey that we can learn from. But before really getting into your business, because Alex got, I mean, he's going to just drop gems left and right. So before getting into your business and how all that's going, just give the listeners a brief intro about yourself, kind of who you are, your bio, so to speak.
Yeah, definitely. So my name is Alex Camuño. I'm actually from Houston. Grew up in Houston and currently live in San Antonio, Texas right now. I came out here to go to college. That was when I was 18. So it was 2014. And when I moved out here and, you know, went to school, did the whole, you know, college degree thing. That was for about 3.5 years. When I graduated, in December of 2017, started working, you know, my corporate 9-to-5 job when I was 21 years old. And, that, you know, like they say, that's kind of the beginning of the end, or that's what I said. So it was kind of, you know, for me, it was always a thing where when I was younger, I always said that I just wanted to be rich. I wanted to have money. That was all I knew. I didn't know like how I was going to get there, but I knew that's what I wanted to do. And I kind of came up with some things along the way, but ultimately I came to a point where, you know, it was time to pick something to study, how, you know, what's going to be your career. Said, let me just do engineering. I know at least there I'll make, you know, decent amount, maybe a good amount of money. So, you know, that was kind of my whole reasoning for getting into that. And, you know, when I was 21, graduating college, making, you know, a good amount of money for a 21-year-old, especially at, you know, at that time. And I'm living here in South Texas where things are cheap. And I was living good. Like, you know, life was good at that time. But it kind of got to a point where there was one day, I think I'll never forget. It was like January 31st. This was 2 weeks into my job where I'm working. You know, we worked like 50 to 55 hours a week. This was in civil engineering. I was designing like single family master plan neighborhoods. And we would work 50, 55 hours a week. And there was one day I'm working, it was probably like 8 o'clock at night in the office. And I'm sitting there and I'm, you know, I'm 21 at this time. And my coworkers, I see some other people around. There's a guy here, he's 30. There's another guy, 35. And then there's this other guy that's like 60, 65 years old. And I knew them pretty, you know, decent. I knew about them. They had personal, I knew they had family, they had kids, all those things. And it was like, I sat there and I thought about it. And I was like, man, it's one thing for me to be here, right? Like I'm 21, I'm not really gonna be going home to do much after this. I'm about to go home and just, you know, play 2K, maybe go to the gym, whatever. I'm not doing, I ain't got nothing waiting for me at home. So it wasn't, it wasn't a big deal for me being there. But I thought about it, I was like, y'all have kids, you have wives, you have kids. Like, I know you're missing out a lot. Cause this is like, we're here this late, like every day this week. And I'm like, y'all missing out a lot. Like, you missing dinner, you missing, you know, story, all these kind of playing with your kids, talking to your wife. You're missing out on a lot of things right now, just being here at this job. And that's when it really hit me. I was like, man, this is really, if this will be me in the future, like I'm literally looking at a glimpse of myself, because it just really hit me at that time. And I was like, nah, that's not going to be me. So literally at that day, like I set a plan to retire and leave my job by the time I was 28 years old. And this was going to be in 2024. So 2 years from now. And this was, when I said that, I was 21 at the time. That was in 2018. So it was a 7 year kind of plan. And from there, I really just went all in on education, studying everything I could. The first thing I literally Googled, I was like, how do people get rich? How do people retire early?
Right.
And real estate was something that kept coming up. Real estate, real estate, real estate, real estate. And I was like, okay, cool. I guess I'm going to do real estate. And, I spent the next 6 months just reading tens of books, listening to hundreds of Bigger Pockets podcasts, everything I could get my hands on, to really just learn about education. And I learned a lot and was able to, ended up buying my first property that summer. It was a house hack, a single family house with a garage apartment, rented out the main house for 13 or 1400. The mortgage was like 1200, moved into the garage apartment. And I immediately eliminated my housing expense. And then, from there, I was like, oh, this is nice. So, that kind of snowballed into another property, and then another property, ended up buying like four or five more rentals, and then flipped about probably 10 to 15 houses from that time up until 2021 or mid last year is probably the last time I flipped a house, just because, from there. And I don't want to kind of get too far ahead, but I'll mention it briefly because I know we'll get into it. But I had ended up starting a business because I kind of realized, I was like, man, okay, if I want to get by 28 years old, if I really want to retire and replace my income, I know I wanted $10,000 a month to leave my job. So I said that I would need 50 rental units, cash flowing $200 per unit. So that's $10,000 a month. And I was like, man, that's going to take some time to get 50 units.
Right.
Because, I didn't necessarily know about, syndication and all these things at the time. All I kind of knew was, get small multifamily, single family. I was like, man, that's going to take some time. So what else can I do? So, from that point, we had ended up starting our podcast, talking about, similar things. You talk about financial freedom talk, and just because I knew it was like, people need to know about this stuff. And from there, and that exposed me to a whole nother world outside of real estate for just entrepreneurship in general. And I met so many different people, and I ended up starting, another business of many. The one that was actually successful was a cleaning business in 2020. And then from there, I kind of scaled that, did like $200,000 within the first, 10 months. And then $400,000 within the first year. So it was definitely, I was able to like leave my job last year. This was when I was 20, I'm 25 now. So
wow.
25, I was able to do it 3 years earlier than anticipated just because of that. And, replaced my income. And now got to a point where I've been able to double my 9-to-5 salary just from the business alone. So it's been quite a journey.
That is, bro, that's such a cool story. I mean, you're like my hero. I'm financially free at 25 years old, dude. I mean, yeah, that is such a cool story, and how one thing led to a next. And it basically started with, you always wanted to be rich. And the first step to that, in your mind, which is what our, I guess, society naturally trains us to do, is go to college, get a really good job, which you did. But then it was like, you didn't even have to wait. A lot of people have that like wake up call when they're 40. Yours is like within the first year. Man, I'm 21, which most people haven't even graduated college by then. You're like, man, I'm 21. I ain't doing this for the rest of my life. And so, yeah, you basically had that moment from just looking around in your office building at 8 o'clock at night. And you were like, man, screw this. I got to change my path really quickly.
Yeah. I think that's a really important point to mention, because you said most people don't have that till they're 40. And that's I'm just really grateful for the fact that I wasn't quite poisoned yet. Right. Because what happens, and I don't want to say poisoned in a negative way, but let's keep it real. It is almost like your mind is tainted when you've been an employee and in that system for decades. If someone even told you, hey, what about this? You could do it this way. You're like that. You're completely shut off to that idea. right? Because there was times where I would talk to some coworkers and, you know, tell them, I was kind of having these thoughts and things. And I was like, let me talk to see what other people think about this, about like financial freedom, retire early. And it was kind of something where it's like people would like, kind of, you know how people don't want to like tell you, oh, you can't do that or nothing, but they'll just kind of go along with it, but not really, you know, they're not going to say anything, but they'll just kind of go along with it. And that's kind of what it was a lot of, you know, when I was telling people about it, even at work and stuff like that. And so I was just grateful for the fact that my mind, I asked why, because what happens, what I realized is that most successful people, they just ask why. And to me, I realized, I said, I want to be rich. I want to make money. Why does this have to be the only way? Why do I have to give my time to do that? I see people that are like traveling the world doing all these things and they're making way more money than me. How do I do that? What are they doing differently? And so I just kept asking why. And I always ask why. Why do I have to do it like this? And that's the fundamental thing I think most people never ask, especially younger people. You never ask why. And because you never ask why or question anything, you just get yourself, you become trapped in that system, and you look up at 40 years old and it's like, man, I've been in this for 20 years now.
And no, I almost like the word that you use, poison, there, because it really is what our schools, it's the way we train people to think. It's multiple choice, do it. I mean, there's only one correct answer. You're not really thinking for yourself. It's not critical thinking. And to get to the top, at least from an income earner standpoint, you got to be the best at that. So the doctors, the lawyers, they become the straight A students, which, you know, maybe even you were an A student, but there was something inside of you that was like, yeah, that's not for me. And so it changed your path. So I think that's really cool. And financial literacy to me is understanding how to align your investing with your goals. And so a lot of people don't do that. So they just do, hey man, I'm 22 and I know it's smart to give money to a financial advisor, but you wanted freedom. And to get to that point, it's not give your money to a financial advisor in a retirement account. It is get into the business asset class or even the real estate asset class a little bit, but you found a much quicker way through business. And so I think that's really cool that you were able to figure that out just through Googling random stuff. And you know, it's just everyone's own unique financial freedom journey.
Yeah, man. And it's all about inquisition, man. Just the more inquisitive you are, the more you just question things and ask why things are, and you really just look into the reasoning behind things. Because like you said, people will tell you, give your money to a financial advisor, put money in a 401k. Well, why? I never put a dollar in my 401k. And literally the HR lady, she was like, are you sure you want to do that? I was like, yes, I don't want to put a dollar in my 401k. I need that money. Cause here's the thing. It's like, why am I going to, and look, if people that's listening, you have a 401k, I know most people have a 401k. That's cool. It's totally fine. But for me, it was like, I know I'm not going to be working until I'm 65. Why am I going to lock up my money in an investment thing that I can't touch for the next 40 years? I'm not going to lock my money up there when I can go put it in something like real estate or business and immediately, you know, get the ROI from that money. And so to me, it just didn't make sense. And like you said, financial literacy, aligning your investment goals with, you know, your knowledge. And so for me, it's like my goal is freedom. So I'm not going to put my money in a place that doesn't lead to freedom.
So. Yeah. Yeah. And the way you were thinking is just so countercultural to, you know, how we're trained to think. And so I do have a question for you. Did you ever grow up like in high school asking your teachers, when am I ever going to use this? Is that a question that you found coming out of your mouth a lot?
Oh yeah, definitely. And here's the thing. Cause I was, like you said, I was a straight A student for the most part, even in high school and college. And it was just somewhere, you know, I was really good at following directions, doing things when I had to do it. And I was really disciplined on my own. So I would do things, but I always questioned. I was like, what's the point of this? I'm still going to do it. But like, what is the point? This is literally pointless. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that at the end of the day, I think that whole concept of, you know, the A students working for C students is 100%. Usually I see it playing out. It's so true.
Crazy. Yeah.
Because A students, generally, they never ask why. They just go with it.
Right.
And
right.
You don't ever ask why. Then, you know, that's kind of the way things go.
No rebellion at all, so to speak. I don't know if you know this. I was a teacher for 5 years. And as a teacher, yeah, my least favorite question to hear was, when are we ever going to use this outside of school? Because a lot of times, truthfully, I did not have the answer. And so I taught math. I taught algebra 2 and geometry for a bit. but we had a smaller school, so I was able to really kind of shape my own curriculum. And so they actually let me teach a financial literacy curriculum course, so to speak. I just created it myself my last year teaching there. But to me, I mean, that's the whole reason I have this podcast. When financial literacy is taught, then in high schools, I'll be done. But until that, we'll try and fill the void, because it's, I think when people are financially literate, you got, and financially free, you got better leaders, you got better fathers, philanthropists, whatever it is. And so I think it's such an important thing to learn financial freedom. But, you know, back to what I was saying, it was so hard to hear that as a teacher. And that got me thinking, well, that's not a bad question for a student to ask. Why should I teach something that they don't really need to know? Why can't we maybe intertwine financial literacy into, maybe it's its own curriculum, but maybe just intertwine it into all the core subjects? You know, if you're learning in math, how to, I don't know, analyze a real estate deal or business, things like that, you'd be so much more prepared for life outside of high school if that was taught. But yeah, so I mean, I think it's so important to learn. And that's what I've learned. You know, you, like you said, you got to be inquisitive. You got to ask why you are doing things this way. And the younger you can start, the better off you'll be.
Oh yeah, man. It's just like, I look at that whole concept the same way people talk about time with investing. It's the same thing with your knowledge and, you know, those kinds of things as well. The mental capacity you have, the younger you can start framing that mindset, it's going to compound. And, you know, in 40 years, I mean, I don't even know where I'll be, but, you know, I imagine it's going to be somewhere.
You'll be killing it. Right. No, for sure. So you've landed on this cleaning business. Now you're killing it with that. And definitely want to go into that, you know, as well. But just kind of go through, because you started at 21. And by the time you're 25, you're financially free. You spent a couple of years doing fix and flips and different things in real estate. And then I know you've done different businesses. You tried different businesses. So talk about your journey of different businesses that you did, and then how you kind of ended up landing on one. Was it just, I don't know, you needed experience? One was just a better fit for you. What was your mindset? How did that work out for you?
I love this question, because this is like something, you know, in this world we live in, especially with the social media age, a lot of things, you can see so many different things. It's so easy to see something like, oh, I want to do that. 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 Especially when you see people making money, social media, people posting money, people posting all these things. It's, which nothing wrong with it. I think that's great, because it's motivation. But from someone that's aspirational and wants to do things, it can be a lot. And so for me, I'll just tell you what happened for me. It was, so once I had that revelation that, like, okay, I'm real estate, I can get there, but ultimately I think real estate will be better for building wealth as opposed to giving me freedom. I realized that business could get me freedom, because with business, my customer base is a lot larger than it is necessarily with rental properties, where, you know, I have a max capacity of customers. If I have a 50 unit building, that's a maximum of 50 customers I can have in a month. Right. So my income is capped in a way. That was just my perspective. And so my cash flow will be ultimately capped, meaning my income I could pay myself will be capped. So with business, it kind of just got to a point where I said, okay, I'm gonna just try a bunch of things. So the first thing I saw was a trucking company. Right. And that was, I saw that because I saw a podcast. Someone was talking about it. It was an entrepreneur. He had 11 trucks. He had a course. I was like, oh, let me just do that. So, you know, I spent $2,500 on his course. And that was October 2019, and took me about 6 months to finally, you know, get the truck. I got that up on the road. And this is a semi, like when I say trucks, this is like 18 wheelers. So, you know, legit, like freight and logistics, those kinds of things. Okay. So it's like over the road trucking. And ended up buying a truck in March of 2020. And, you know, I think everyone, when you hear March 2020, everyone automatically associates that with, like, but yeah, it's funny. I literally, my truck, I bought it at the beginning of March, got it up and running, got my driver and everything hired March 19th, which everyone remembers that. That was literally the week everything shut down. God, so
that's crazy.
It was insane. And from there, it was literally like a downhill spiral. Ended up, you know, rates just completely tanked. Everything was bad. Driver was, you know, he wasn't happy because he wasn't making a lot of money, which, I mean, I can't pay him unless the truck's making money, and the truck won't make money unless, you know, shippers are paying good money. They weren't paying good money. So it was bad. And the truck, you know, I lost a lot of money, ended up losing probably close to $40,000 in that business. And I think it was still a great business, but I just think the timing of it was terrible for me, and it just didn't work out. So from that, I was like, okay, cool. That didn't work. All right. I learned a lot. Did it for literally probably about a year and a half until I finally liquidated everything last year. So from there, I said, what's next? I saw vending machines. We had someone on our podcast talking about that. I said, oh, okay. That's an interesting thing. So, you know, started doing that. Was literally about to go purchase a vending, like about to go spend $7,000 and purchase a few vending machines. Fortunately, the thing fell apart. Like the deal kind of just fell apart because the guy ended up selling it to someone else. So from there, it's like, okay. It took me so long to find them and stuff. Like I'm taking courses on all these things, by the way. So I'm not, right. It's not like I'm just doing things blindly. I will find people doing it successfully, bring them on our podcast or listen to their podcast, and then I would take their courses. And, you know, I'm spending thousands of dollars on these courses. So, you know, I'm getting good education in all these things. And then from there, I was like, okay, it took me so long to find that one. I don't really feel like looking for this anymore. And it was kind of like, I'm kind of over it. So I said, what's next? Oh, there was a guy doing rental cars. So we brought him onto the podcast, talked about that, ended up taking his course. He talked about how he scaled his rental car fleet to 16 cars. I was like, oh, that's not bad. So did that, ended up buying a car. That was, I think, April of 2020. Like, I was doing a bunch of things at once, by the way.
Yeah.
So this was like
with your job.
Yes, with my job. And so this was like April of 2020, ended up buying a car. And, you know, it was going well. I put it on Turo and HireCar, which is like a place where Lyft and Uber drivers can rent like rent your car out. And it was doing well there, but it kind of got to a point where, you know, they were putting so many miles on the car that the value of the car was dropping fast. And I was like, okay,
right.
I'm going to make all this money, but I'm going to have to literally have negative equity in it. So I'm gonna have to pay to sell it. And so it was like, I don't really like that model. And so from there, it was kind of something where I was like, okay, what's the next thing? Then we had someone on the podcast from Dallas, and they were talking about how they started a cleaning business. They scaled it to, I think at that time it was like 400,000 they had made in the last 4 years. And I was like, okay, let me try that. And, you know, ended up taking a course on that. They had a course on it and, you know, got that up and running in August of 2020. And I was just kind of, it was working, but I was just kind of, I wasn't paying much attention to it. It was just kind of on the side, like, you know, made like 5,000, 6,000. Then by 2021, last January, I had made like 10,000 in a month. I was like, oh, so it was growing. But I wasn't kind of like paying much attention to it just because there was so many other things that took more attention and effort. And I was like, I'm going to just let that keep growing. And then, you know, it kind of got to a point where the truck was like killing me financially. That it was like, man, I can't do this. Ended up selling the rental car last year. And, I was like, man. And I realized, I was like, wait a minute. This cleaning business is literally the thing that's taking the least amount of effort, but it's producing the most amount of return. So I was like, why am I not just focusing all in on this? So at that point, I literally decided I'm going to liquidate everything else. So that's when I sold the truck, sold the rental cars, you know, I was also doing some other, had a mobile home, didn't even mention that, but I ended up buying a mobile home as well. And there was one of the, I had started doing like stock options, dabbling that, trying to learn that.
Oh, wow.
Everything. I was just trying to do everything. This was mainly in 2020 into 2021. And I was like, man, I'm just going to focus on this. And it hit me when it was like, when I realized that, wow, all I really have to do is put all my effort and all my attention and focus on this, and this will scale exponentially. But because my focus was divided on, I had rental properties, we were flipping houses, I had a truck, I had a rental car, I had, you know, was trying to trade in the stock market, doing all these different things, my attention could not stay focused on one thing. And so once I said, let me just try focusing, it literally picked up exponentially.
Yeah.
Because the way the model of the business works is I essentially, you know, hire contractors. I don't use employees. I hire contractors and I match them with people that want their house clean. So it's kind of like Uber. So all I have to do is have like staff, which is like VAs and stuff that answer the phone and do that stuff. And they essentially assign house cleaning jobs to the cleaners that, you know, we've contracted on. And it was really low overhead because it was I didn't need to buy any equipment or anything. All I needed was a website, and it was exponentially growing because all I had to do was spend more marketing to go make more money. And so I was like, man, I'm just going to focus on that. And so, you know, I know that was a lot, but that was kind of, you know, the journey getting into business. from real estate, you know, to put it.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like the podcast is almost like a blessing and a curse, because every guest you had on, they were killing it. And you're like, I'll try that. And so you had 10 different guests on. So you tried 10 different things. but then you found, I mean, to me, like, you were young and single, which is such a good time for you to try whatever you want to do. Even if it is $40,000 of debt or whatever, you can recover from that. I mean, if you're keeping moving forward, I always like to call that tuition anyway. You know, it's just tuition in your school of entrepreneurship or business or whatever. And over time, you found, I guess, call it 2 years. I don't know how many years, 2 years of trying different things out. You found a model that worked for you. It was very low startup and easy to run. And you're probably able to be pretty hands-off. I mean, you're financially free, so you can be as hands-off as you want to now. And so through all those different things that you tried, you were able to figure out what fit you the best. Because I think, you know, just because you start one business doesn't mean you have to like finish it all the way with that one. You can figure it out. And that's probably, you're probably half of the reason they say the stat is like 85% of businesses fail or whatever. but like they say that stat, and I think it's a little abstract. It's not completely accurate, because to me, it was just a path for you to figure out how to attain your financial freedom with the right business model. And now you did your first year, you said $400,000. I mean, as well worth the 2 years of tuition.
Yeah, man. I love it, because that is exactly what I tell people. And it's like you said, I mean, at the time I was below under 25 for the majority of that time. So it's like, I don't have a wife. I don't have a kids. I literally make money living in my house. I live for free in a garage apartment. I have a very high risk tolerance. I could lose $100,000 and not even, I was still going to eat. Nothing was going to, everything will be so. And I had a high paying job on top of that. So right. If there was any time to ever do that, it's then. That was the prime time for me. And that's why I tell people, it's like every one of these situations is different. Cause I tell people it's good to try things, but you got to understand what your situation is. Some people, you don't have as much of a risk profile to be able to fail as much. I mean, I think it's great to fail and you learn, but everybody has to just be cognizant of where you actually are in your journey, right? Some people, mm-hmm. you know, if you have family, if you have kids, if you have other obligations, you might not be. I was literally taking all the money from my job, and because I didn't have to pay rent or utilities or anything, I'm putting it all into the business. So I'm making,
that's awesome,
from work, and it's going straight to business. And you know, I got into a lot of debt because of the truck and all that stuff, but I was able to pay all that off. And it's like, you know, from the cleaning business. So it was something where I, like you said, it was school. It was tuition to the school of hard knocks. I learned so much, and all that stuff I applied into my new business. All those lessons that I learned, I apply into my new business, because I know now that it gave me a business philosophy. Like I realized, oh, okay, I don't like businesses with a lot of overhead. I don't like businesses that have unpredictable cash flow, like the trucking business. One repair, I could make $25,000 in a month, and one repair would wipe out the $5,000 cash flow I had. So, you know, it was just something where you kind of, from experiences, you learn what works for you. And that was just my journey. And I have no complaints about it. It was great. And, you know, if I'm a contributor to that stat, then so be it.
Oh, yeah. No, I think people hear that stat and they get scared.
Yeah.
But, you know, me and you, because I've done the same thing. I've tried different businesses, whatever, and finally kind of figured out a niche more or less. But I mean, that stat is like, but a lot of those people continue to try entrepreneurship because they know this is the way out of the rat race. They know this is the way to financial freedom. Just got to figure a couple things out. So, yeah, I think that's, all that stuff, which, by the way, you said you're still living in your garage. Is that what you said?
Yeah, man, I'm in it now.
So still house hacking, and you're making, I mean, you're financially free, making 10 grand a month is what you're saying.
Yeah. So it's nice, man. And I'm obviously, this is like, I'm not saying like, you know, I'm going to be here forever. I'm probably going to move out of here within the next year into probably, you know, a new city, get the nice apartment, get a new car, all that kind of stuff. But you got to understand, there's levels to it. Like In order for me to get here, I had to do this. I had to delay gratification. Most people, They graduate college with, you know, the salary I had, all that. They're going to get that new BMW. They're going to get the nice apartment, which I got the nice apartment too. But when I woke up, I realized this is what I need to do. But the car, people are going to try to buy the dream house as soon as they, like, come on, man. Like, it's delayed gratification is the most important thing for along this journey to financial freedom. The most important thing, hands down.
Yeah, so true. And yeah, I mean, I just love the fact that you're kind of still in that. I mean, you're just still house hacking. I mean, I bet you even drive a cheaper car, you know?
Hey, I'm still driving the same car from high school.
Yeah, I mean, to me, all that stuff is, when I hear about people doing that stuff, I just know they're going somewhere and doing really cool things because they're just driven. They know what they want and they understand wealth. They understand, I mean, they're financially literate in the sense that, man, I'm done putting money into liabilities. I want assets to pay for my liabilities. I mean, I'm sure you've heard Robert Kiyosaki say all the time. And so that's why, like, every dollar you were getting from engineering was just going, all that stuff was good debt anyway. I mean, some of it maybe you didn't make money from, but education is almost an asset class in and of itself.
Man, that is a bar. That is a bar, man. I'm going to start using education as an asset class. 100%. Because the knowledge that I gained from that, it's going to pay me for the rest of my life. Like, the things that I learned from all the failures, man, come on. There's no place else I'm going to learn that kind of stuff. There's no formal education for that.
Yeah. Yeah. So true. Your journey is so cool. I love everything about your story. I try to have, you know, high school age, college age people listen to this, and the earlier they can do something like you're doing, I mean, I think it would be very inspirational for a lot of people. So such a cool journey. I do want to let you go into your cleaning business just a little bit, because you're in year two now of your cleaning business. And I know we've talked about your other businesses and your journey up to this point, but just, I mean, tell us about your cleaning business. You said it's basically, you know, you're the middleman. You do the marketing, you get independent contractors, they do the cleaning. You're not ever cleaning any units. You just hire the people. How did that kind of look like? You know, you were able to scale. Maybe there's people that listen to podcasts that are interested in the model you're talking about. Just kind of go into that a little bit deeper and what your journey has been like from start to where you're at now and how you've scaled.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So yeah, the cleaning business, like you said, I'm a middleman essentially. So, you know, if you think about Uber, when someone goes to, you know, the Uber app, they're looking for someone to pick them up. But on the other side of the app, there's someone looking for someone to pick up, right? And Uber facilitates that, right? So it's a centralized platform in the same way that I created a centralized platform that does the same thing with people looking for their house to be clean and for people looking to clean houses. And so essentially, my job is just to market for people looking to get their house clean and to market for people looking to clean houses. Right. And so it's not really even a cleaning business. Like, this is something I try to tell people in the sense that understand the type of business you're in. I'm essentially more so in a marketing company. True. If you really want to, you know, simplify it. Right. Because now my objective, even my SOPs and like my standard operating procedures, all my systems, there's nothing in there where you'll see anything about a broom or a mop or anything like that, because I don't concern myself. I don't even know anything about cleaning. I know nothing about cleaning houses, right? I don't know what products you're supposed to use. I don't know any of that stuff.
That's funny.
So my job is essentially to match those two people together. And so as far as, you know, starting that up, it's really pretty straightforward. Really, initially, it's really just about getting yourself in front of people, right? So creating ads for cleaners and creating ads for people looking to get their house clean and having a place where they can go to essentially, get that transaction completed, pay you completely online. We never visit houses. We never have to go give estimates. Everything's completely aligned. We get bookings at 3-4 in the morning because people are, you know, looking for house cleaning.
Yeah.
And you don't have to call us to book it. In the same way, you don't need to call someone to call an Uber. It's not like a taxi service. So you can go book your Uber ride anywhere, anytime. And so it's the same thing. And so essentially, yeah, you create a website and you drive traffic to the website or drive traffic to your ads and you create ads for cleaners. And it's a very, very, like you said earlier, low startup cost business. You can probably get it started with $2,000. Like get all, you know, marketing, getting the website built out, a few ads, everything, you know, insurance, all that kind of stuff. You can get it all built out for that cost. But at that point, scaling, it was really, that's all I really focused on. And now I've created systems to where, you know, staff, they hire, they focus, like the staff I'm hiring and the staff I have hired, they, I've created systems for them to grow the business, right? Because it kind of got to a point where the thing I really liked about the business was that it never required a lot of my time, because from day one, one thing I learned from all the other failures in other businesses was that I needed systems. So on day one in this business, mm-hmm. I had systems. There was systems and scripts on how to answer phone calls, all these things. Even when I was doing it, I was following scripts that I created. So when it was time to pass it on to someone else, it was very easy for them to just take over. And the business, there was no period of like, a downtrend or anything like that, because they were trying to learn a system or anything like that. It's a very straightforward thing. So I created systems early on, and that really kept me. That's why I was able to do so many other things while this was still like making money and growing. Didn't even realize it was because I had systems. I was operating the business while I can focus on these other things. And so now, but the point, I didn't have systems that would grow the business. I had systems that would operate the business, but I didn't have systems that would grow the business without me. And so this year, I really have been focusing on systems, really over the last month, systems that grow the business without me. So now teaching other people how to hire and do those things. So now we can, I literally now in the business work probably 1 hour a week, if that. Wow. So, you know, it's, 98% less work than my engineering job with, 100% salary increase. And so,
yeah,
it's just something where once you figure that out, it's game changing, man. So that's kind of, an overview of the business.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. I mean, basically you have found a way to replace yourself for everything you've ever had to do. And now, I mean, you check in, you're the guy who, checks in after golfing all week or being on the beach all week, 1 hour, how are we doing with the, manager, whatever they are. And you're like, okay, cool. Let's keep doing that. And I'll figure out ways to grow it and give this person, that person, that job. I mean, because a lot of people, just want to say this, a lot of people, I've talked about cash flow quadrants on this podcast. They start a business, but are in that S quadrant of, self-employed. And then you very quickly, I mean, you never want to be self-employed. I mean, you didn't do that from day one because you never cleaned a single unit. So you were very quickly figuring out how to get in that B quadrant where you can just run it from the top. And like you said, 1 hour a week is all I got to do on that. And then I can focus on other things I want to do.
Yeah. And that's the blessing with it, because now, I'm focused now on other things that are going to make more revenue now. Like now I spent a lot of my time. I did pick back up trading in the stock market with stock options because I realized, I was like, man, this was a very lucrative thing, but I just didn't put the time into it because I didn't have the time working a job doing all these things. But now I literally find myself with, some more free time. So I'm like, I'm going to focus 100% on this, and the business continues to grow all these. And so I just encourage people, when you're in business, that's the number one step. Is to get systems. Even if you don't know what your systems are, document everything you do. Whatever you do in the business, whatever, if you say a certain thing over and over, document it, write it down, put it in a Google document or something like that, Google Spreadsheet, whatever, so that you can outsource it, because your business won't grow. And this is, to me, the reason I think that with that stat, I think a big part of it is due to the fact that most people never get out of the employee mindset in their own business. You can only grow as far as your systems and the people you bring on can allow you to grow, because you only have a finite amount of time. If I said I'm going to continue, if I wanted to, look, you can pick to pay in time or you can pick to pay in money. I'd rather pay in money. And so for me, I said I would rather bring on other people that can take phone calls and handle customer disputes and that kind of stuff as soon as possible, even if I have to pay them out of my own pocket, because I know I'll scale quickly that way. And so I always encourage people to do everything yourself, at least for a small period of time, so you can know how it should be done, document it, and then you can train people based off of that documented processes that will allow you to now completely step out and focus on the bigger task, which become growing the business. And then it gets to a point where now you focus on growing the business so much, you can now bring up those people that you brought up and they can focus on growing the business, and you can even step out even further. So it just becomes a cycle where your business should never ever plateau, because you should always be putting systems together that will grow the business.
Yeah. And the main thing I guess you're really in charge of is the vision. I mean, you just got to make sure there's a certain vision, a certain culture, whatever, And then you just make sure, I mean, you push it towards that way. Cause a lot of people, like you said, they got that employer or employee mindset, and you were able to get into that employer, man, how can we scale? And so, I mean, y'all are killing it. How much you projected to do this year, year two, would you say?
I would say 800 to a million in revenue. This year. So, you know, we're on pace definitely for 700, but I really want to push to get a million, but it's going to be a hard journey. But yeah. You know, that's what I like about it. It's scalable. I've already opened up the third location. It's in San Antonio, Austin, and in Houston now. And okay. You know, the goal this year is to really just focus on growing Houston. It's a lot tougher of a market because it's just, you know, a lot more competitors, a lot more business out there, but you know, that's part of it. And so that's kind of just what we're focused on this year. But we should definitely hit, you know, around $1 million in revenue this year.
That's crazy. In 2 years. I mean, that is wild. yeah, I was also going to ask. So if your business only takes 1 hour of your week, I know you said you're working on stock options. What else are you kind of, just out of curiosity, what are you working on behind the scenes there? I know you got your podcast too. And I know, yeah. I know that takes time, but what else are you kind of working on?
Yeah, man. So a lot of my time is going into, you know, learning, because the thing about the stock market is kind of like it's a whole nother animal in the sense of, like, I'm not sure if you're familiar with, you know, stock options and all that kind of stuff. But I think it's one of the easiest places to make money. But there's a very long learning curve, or very high gotcha. Learning curve in the stock market. So that's something, you know, I've really been spending probably, I would say, 5 to 6 hours a day on, is just really educating. Like learning in 5 hours every morning, just, you know, studying charts, looking at things. Since 2022 started, I haven't missed one day. And my goal is to really just be in here the whole year, just continue to learn and, you know, continue to get screen time. So that's usually what I do in the mornings. And then towards the afternoon, kind of, you know, take a little break from that, check in on the business, usually for about 10 minutes, and then really kind of focus on some stuff with the podcast. And then also, you know, go to the gym, and really, you know, when I come back, it's kind of more of a chill kind of afternoon. I'm really not, I don't have much to do, you know, really in the evening. So it's honestly, this was my whole thing with it, is I always try to tell people that, remember, the reason we start businesses is not so that we can always, you know, have something to do. Right. We start them for freedom, right? And financial freedom. And it kind of is a thing where, you know, the people that get financial freedom can't just settle for financial freedom. Like, it's always because the fact that you were able to get it, you're yeah. not just settle for that. You know, there's another level. So for me, I'm just trying to get to that next level through other avenues and other means. The business is by no means, the cleaning business is good, but it's not my end all be all. I love real estate. In fact, real estate is like where I ultimately want to land, because I just love all the wealth generators, the cash flow appreciation, the tax appreciation, all the stuff that comes with real estate. That's where I ultimately want to be. But I realize that in order to, you know, get into real estate, well, for me, I want to get into, I want to first have a certain lifestyle out of other things, and then let real estate build wealth. Right. And so mm-hmm. that's kind of my financial freedom formula that I follow. And for me, it was, you know, I always tell people there's levels to it. Level one is just being able to replace your job income. Level two is just being able to live your dream lifestyle. And level three is, if you want, being able to buy anything money can buy. So, I, you know, yeah. if that's yeah. what you aspire for, then it's out there for you. But level one and level two is definitely something that I think everybody should be able to aspire for.
Yeah, so cool. Well, man, yeah, you are killing it with your business, so much so you are financially free. And just, I want to close out just with a couple of questions here, and let you get back to it. But just out of curiosity for you, for those starting out on a financial freedom journey, what would you tell them to do starting out?
Yeah, man, I would say, and this is really going to be dependent. You have to, like I said before, you have to know where you are. But the number one thing I would say is get educated. It's self-education. Self-education, and I know people say it, but it's true. Self-education, formal education will make you a living, but self-education will make you wealthy. It will, mm-hmm. It's the only way you're going to become wealthy. And so whatever it is you want to do, before doing it, get educated. Like I said, I spent thousands of dollars on courses on different businesses that I never even have started a business in, but I got the education and I was going to be prepared if I did get into it. So if you want to, a lot of people start businesses just kind of off of vibes and you're just kind of going with the flow, but really get educated, find someone doing what you want to do and learn from them.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Getting into business is definitely a way for financial freedom journey. I also love that house hacking. That is also really cool that you were able to couple those things. I think that's the perfect model right there. And then, yeah, I mean, just tell us about your podcast and tell just our Money Vision U students, so to speak, how they can follow you and stay in touch.
Yeah, man, the podcast is called Money Monopolizer. I run it with my co-host and one of my best friends from since we were 12 years old. He's also, you know, he has a rental car business. He has like 25 cars in his fleet. He's growing to like 100 cars. You know, he's doing really well in his business. But yeah, we started that back in 2019, and we're actually next in May 2nd will be the third year of running the podcast. And it's grown to, you know, we get, I think, now around 14,000 listeners a month. So it's definitely been continuing to grow, and it's been something that we are continuing to stick with. But we talk about financial freedom, and we talk specifically over the past few weeks and months, it's been specifically about business. We have a lot of real estate episodes, but because we have shifted our focus to business, a lot of our episodes are about business and running a business successfully as an entrepreneur, and especially as a startup, a new entrepreneur, how to really look at business. Because I think most people look at business in a way where, you know, you're supposed to be working 80 hours a week, 100 hours a week, but that's, we kind of teach it another way to where you can be free from your business, even from early on. And so that's really all the podcast is about, financial freedom and just strategies for it. We bring different guests on that we go, you know, visit all over the country to, you know, talk about how they've achieved financial freedom. And so we have a whole bunch. We have an episode about the cleaning business on there. If you want to learn from the people I learned from, you can do check that out. It's episode 102, I think. But yeah, there's a whole bunch of different episodes and you can learn from there.
And all social media platforms, how can they follow you there?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Money Monopolizers on Instagram is probably the best. And on YouTube is the best way to find us and reach out if you want.
Cool. I'll drop that in the show notes. And just for the listeners, I listen to a lot of their episodes. I always come out motivated. I'm like, man, these dudes are killing it. I got to keep up with these guys. And so every listener of Money Vision U should 100% also be listening to Money Monopolizers. These dudes are awesome. And every guest is something just that is so good, dropping so many gems or whatever. So, man, Alex, thank you for coming on this podcast. Man, we may have to have you on talk about stock options or something in the future. But yeah, thanks for coming out on this podcast. And yeah, we'll definitely be staying in touch.
Yeah, man, for sure. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Money Vision U. If this is something that added value to you, then please subscribe, leave a review, and share. We are passionate about teaching financial literacy so you can learn to take control of your financial future. If you want to learn more, then follow us on social media platforms @MoneyVisionU. We look forward to catching you in the next class.